All right. Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday evening. I'm not quite set up yet. I was having trouble getting in. I had to reboot my computer. So I still need to even look and see where I am. I think I know where I'm at. I think I'm going to be on 806, but I need to go to reginadonacres.com and double check that. So what I'm going to do, I always start with a song, but today you may hear me clicking while I'm playing the song because I'm going to be finishing setting up for the teaching. Let me just pick a song real quick. I haven't had time to do that. So the song that has jumped out at me is by the Bangles, and it's called Grateful. So why don't we listen to Grateful while I finish getting set up for the 7 Steps to Awakening. Here we go.
You up in my arms, I hear you sing yourself to sleep. The sky opens up over your room. You sail into your moonlight dreams. So much more.
Oh,
Okay, so as it turns out, that actually wasn't enough time. I am having lots of computer troubles. So what I've done just now is I've switched to my phone. So let's see if we can get things happening using my phone. Okay, it looks like I'm going to be ready for quote 807. So now let's see if we can get to my journal, my 7 steps journal on my phone. Looks like using the phone, I'm going to be able to do this. All right, so how do I find my way there on the phone to 807? To 807. Is it 807? Yeah, 807. Okay. There's got to be a way to do this. View full site. That will help me do it. Good. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm not doing a 7 steps teaching tonight, guys. Let's see. Hold on. Maybe if I try one more thing, I can figure out how to get there. Okay. I think I figured it out. Come on. All right. Woohoo! So I have the journal open on my phone. I'm in Pal Talk on my computer. And the book, The 7 Steps to Awakening, is not a problem because it's a book. And it doesn't have technical difficulties. So this means I am finally ready to go. So hey, everyone. Welcome to the 7 Steps to Awakening. And tonight, I am beginning with quote 807. And this is quote 807 from step 4 of the 7 Steps to Awakening. If your desire and confidence are strong, they will operate and take you to your goal. For you will not cause delay by hesitation and compromise. I'll read that again. If your desire and confidence are strong, they will operate and take you to your goal. For you will not cause delay by hesitation and compromise. So we've looked at several quotes about desire, confidence, earnestness. What's a little different, the different spin coming from this quote, are the words hesitation and compromise. Yeah, Kathy's already typed it in the room. So I think that's where we should focus our attention, don't you, Kathy? Hesitation and compromise. Because that's something that we haven't really looked deeply at yet. Yeah, so Kathy's in agreement with me, so that's what we'll do. So hesitation is an interesting word to me because I just wrote this in a tip probably yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday. You know, because I, you know, as you guys know, I write the tips in advance of you seeing them, so you won't see this tip for about a week or so. But what I wrote in the tip was I asked the question that, you know, what would cause you to hesitate if you were just about to be absorbed into infinite awareness? What would cause you to hesitate and look back? That's a question that I've asked in an upcoming tip. And so now here we have this word hesitate again within just a couple of days for me. One of the things that I found was helpful, and I mentioned this as a hint in the tip, was to be aware of the types of thoughts that could capture my attention while practicing awareness, watching awareness, or loving consciousness. And I'm not talking about the specific thought, because the specific thought could be about something that's happening in my life today. And, you know, whatever that is only happening in my life today. And by tomorrow, that specific thought will no longer distract me again, right? Because I've already resolved that problem or completed that task. But it's more the type of thought. You know, like one of the things that I noticed that do distract me from time to time, not all of the time, but does distract me is the idea of something to do. You know, like if a thought crosses my mind, like, oh, you forgot you told so-and-so you'd do this, right? You know, it has like this seeming immediacy to it. I notice that my attention will go to that, like, snap, like fast. Like I can be sitting there focusing on awareness. And really drilling into awareness using self-inquiry. And as long as I'm actually really focused on self-inquiry, I actually don't get distracted. So self-inquiry seems to work pretty well for me. It's when I stop self-inquiry and I attempt to rest in awareness, whatever level of awareness I seem to have achieved that day. It's in the resting. It's in the more passive meditation rather than the drilling down type of meditation. In the more passive meditation, that's when a thought may come in, like, oh, you forgot, you told so-and-so you'd do this, you know, and you didn't do it. And my attention will immediately go to that. And I can feel it. It's like, teleporting. I mean, it's like, you know, teleporting. Suddenly I was here, I was back here, focused on awareness, and now, boom, I'm right here in the foreground again. You know, just, it brought me all the way back. And so, one of the things I wrote down, because I also asked myself this question, you know, if I was being absorbed into infinite awareness, you know, what might cause me to hesitate and look back? And when I noticed how my attention just got completely sucked out by, oh, here's something that you need to do, I thought, well, if that's happening to me now, in awareness, watching awareness meditation, well, then there's a pretty good possibility that that could happen to me if I was being absorbed into infinite awareness, that I could have that thought and be sucked right out. There's a story that I won't tell completely because I don't have it written down in front of me, and if I try to tell it completely from my memory, I might mess it up a little bit. So I'll just tell it lightly. But there was a friend that I only knew through email. He was really more of a friend and a student of Michael Langford's, where he one day in meditation, oh no, we've just been kicked out of Pal Talk. Not the best night for computer stuff around here.
Regina, I just ran out of announcements. So, giving the mic back to you.
Thank you, Kim. What I did was I rebooted my router. Once I got kicked out, I couldn't get back in, so I had already rebooted the computer. So I thought, okay, well, there's only one more thing to reboot. So I did that. But where I was telling a story. So this student of Michael Langford's, it seems, had an experience where he had the opportunity to be absorbed into infinite awareness. And what happened for him was he had some kind of an experience where he thought he lived with his parents, and he thought that his parents were making some kind of noise that disturbed him, and his attention went to that, to being disturbed, and the opportunity to be sucked into infinite awareness or absorbed into infinite awareness kind of ended. And what was interesting in that case is that when it ended, the parents were not up. He had not been actually disturbed. So it's almost like it was some kind of an ego vision or something. Who knows what happened there? But the point is that if we're about to be sucked into infinite awareness or absorbed into infinite awareness or disappear into infinite awareness, however you like that, or die into infinite awareness, however you like that to be worded, we need to be able to stay with awareness. You know, this is the purpose of, as far as I know, the purpose of practicing awareness, watching awareness, is to learn to be able to stay with our attention on awareness and not be distracted by thoughts, feelings, or the world, right? Because when the attention pops back, it pulls us out of that awareness. And if that happens during a manonasa opportunity, an absorption opportunity, well, then for now, that opportunity passes us by. Obviously, at some point, it will return, whether it's, quote, this lifetime or not, you know, who knows? So I think it's important, you know, if we really feel that we are genuine in wanting to awaken to infinite awareness and know ourselves as infinite awareness, then we really do need to pay attention to what causes me to hesitate. What grabs my attention, you know, what pulls me out of focusing on awareness now, just in my daily practice. And like I said, when that thought crosses my mind, you know, like, oh, I told Cheryl I would do this and I forgot. It's like teleporting. You know, it's like, boom, my attention goes out so fast that it appears there's nothing I could have done to stop it. But I don't believe that's true. I think that what that really means is that I need to work on my desire to be absorbed into infinite awareness. I feel that when the desire to be absorbed into infinite awareness is strong enough, that automatic being pulled out by a certain type of thought or a certain type of feeling or a certain, you know, type of sound, it's not going to happen. You know, like, you know, if I was this particular student of Michael Langford's who had this thought of, oh, you know, my parents are up now and they're disturbing me. I mean, my guess is there was already a distraction in the mind about being disturbed. There was already this thought about I need to have absolute silence, absolute quiet. And if we pay attention, if we have that type of a thought, we'll know it. You know, the dog barks. I can't take it when the dog barks or a dump truck goes by or somebody knocks on the door. You know, so right now is the time to be working on not allowing those types of things to distract us. You know, whatever it is that we find that distracts us, whether it's an outside noise, a thought about things to do, setting and thinking about my reputation or self-image, or, you know, again, look for not specifics, but kind of categories of the types of things that distract you and make note of them. I mean, you could write them down, but by make note of them, I mean be aware. You know, be aware, when I hear a noise, that pulls me right out. Or when I feel disturbed and that bothers me. And you know, this is something I want to transcend with a greater desire to awaken to infinite awareness. I want to have a desire that is so great that somebody could be pounding on the desk next to me and I would not move from awareness. Or, you know, this thought of this urgent task that absolutely has to be done now could occur, and it would not pull me away from awareness, right? So to me, that's what this hesitation, yeah, Kathy says attention on appearances. That's what this hesitation is about. Again, he says, if your desire and confidence are strong, they will operate and take you to your goal. For you will not cause delay by hesitation and compromise. And I'll get to the compromise in a moment. But, and again, I'm going to repeat myself, but because I think it's important for us to hear. when I am in meditation and a thought occurs of something that I forgot to do or something that I need to do, it's like I am teleported. I am moved instantly. My attention is moved instantly from being focused on awareness to the foreground. It feels like I moved from to the front of my brain where thinking happens. That's really what it feels like. So I move from the background to the foreground immediately. And so by then, you could say it's almost too late. I mean, I can start the inquiry process and the focusing on awareness process and move back again. But that happens like that. So I don't think it's a matter of trying to control that from happening because it happened too quick to control. It's a matter of increasing the desire. So that those types of teleportations, those types of movements do not occur. And that's what I think I see Nisargadatta saying in this quote too. Because he says, if your desire and confidence are strong, they will operate and take you to your goal. Right? He's not saying, you know, if you're in there and you start having these thoughts that are pulling you forward, fight against them. You know, don't let them pull you. You know, like I said, it happens too quick. I couldn't fight against them if I wanted to. It happens before I knew it happened. So it's about working on the desire and the confidence. The confidence could be letting go of the I am bad thought. Because if you still live with the I am bad thought, then there's this thought that I am not good enough. I am not good enough to awaken, right? The confidence could also be really questioning and looking at doubt thoughts. You know, if you have the thought, well, maybe there really isn't such a thing as infinite awareness, you know, then your confidence is going to be low too. So maybe another thing that you need to look at in addition to your desire and what can you do to increase your desire to awaken, but another thing you look at is what is maybe in the way of me having the confidence in awakening. You know, do I have doubts? Do I think that I am unworthy, that I'm not good enough, that I'm the one person that will never awaken? You know, what are some other things that even when I'm not in meditation, I can be working on in order to help me get to my goal? So if your desire and confidence are strong, they will operate and take you to your goal. For you will not cause delay by hesitation and compromise. All right, so the hesitation, as soon as I saw the word hesitation, because I had already contemplated hesitation yesterday or the day before and wrote about that in a tip, I'm covered there. The compromise, I'm not quite sure what to say about the compromise. So, although I believe I know what the word compromise means, when I get in a place like this, I always go straight to the dictionary. So let's look at the dictionary and see what it says about compromise. All right, compromise, an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. I don't think that applies. I already see one that does, but let me go through this in a straight through way. A middle state between conflicting opinions or actions reached by mutual concession. No. All right. Here's the definition that applies. The acceptance of standards that are lower than is desirable. The acceptance of standards that are lower than is desirable. Yeah, settling for less. So, one thought that comes to me as a potential compromise is, you know, once upon a time, I used to suffer. Once upon a time, I experienced things like stress at work. I experienced anger. I experienced jealousy. I experienced unworthiness. I experienced guilt. Those things are genuinely not a part of my everyday experience anymore. So why not be happy with that? Woo! Right? I mean, heck, I'm one of the happiest people on the planet. You know, I don't worry about things. You know, I'm able to be with whatever is in a very genuine way. Don't you think that's good enough? Woohoo! That's compromise. Right? That's compromise. And I've always known that was compromise. You know, I think you guys have, if you've listened to my teachings long enough, you've heard me talk about not resting on our laurels. Right? I've always known that that's compromise. In fact, I've even seen that to some degree, happiness, the type of happiness that I experience, which I really don't think most humans do, happiness could be its own trap. Because suffering kind of pushes you, you know? Happiness doesn't. Happiness doesn't push. Happiness is. I mean, it is. It's being. It's here. It's now. It's okay. So I've always known that I have to be careful of my own happiness. I have to be careful of my own contentment. And I've also said this before, so there's nothing new under the sun. What I do is I get up and I practice every morning. And by practice, as you guys know, in my case, I mean contemplate and meditate. Because what I find motivates me more than anything else is the practice itself. So I get up and I contemplate and meditate every day. And then throughout the day, when I'm not in contemplation and meditation, I have my own way of keeping my mind on self-inquiry, keeping my attention on self-inquiry. I don't know how else to say it. You know, paying attention to what am I, what is true. And you guys know I call this playing games, you know, playing the games. Like, are there any borders here? Is there any separation here? But it's keeping my attention with the purpose of awakening into infinite awareness. The Loving All method is something that I definitely recommend for everyone else. The Loving All method has become natural for me, so it's no longer a practice. Like Loving All just happens, right? So Loving All is not a practice for me. And again, I don't want to rest content where I'm at. And then it doesn't come from a discontent. You know, sometimes people hear me say things like this and they say, well, you know, that seeker has to die, you know, but I don't think the seeker has to die. I don't think the seeker should die until you are absorbed into infinite awareness. I think that's an ego trick. But it doesn't mean you have to be discontented. There's a discontent, which some people think it's synonymous with seeker. They think if you're seeking, it means you're discontent. Well, that's not true. You know, I know that's not true because I'm not discontent. Right? In fact, like I said, I see the contentedness that I have reached as a possible trap, resting place. Just stay here for a while and don't go forward anymore. And that forward motion needs to continue. How do I know that forward motion needs to continue? Because I still see a world. You know, it's safe to say I'm still a human, a happy human, but I'm still a human, which means I have not reached the end of the road. And there are teachers that I trust fully. I trust Michael Langford. I trust Nisargadatta Maharaj. I trust Ramana Maharshi. I trust now Bernadette Roberts. I trust Floyd Henderson. And you know what's interesting about these teachers? They all say the exact same thing. Different ways, but the exact same thing. And what they are telling me is don't stop until you're done. In fact, NTI says that. I mean, long before I knew any of these teachers, that came through me, right? In fact, you guys have already read it. It was in NTI Matthew. It's even near the beginning of NTI. I told you guys it was one of my, in the TIFF, I told you it was one of my favorite sentences in all of NTI. It says something like, don't stop until you are the truth. Right? Well, a human is not the truth. I know that. So if I still experience myself as a human, then I still have a ways to go. The fact that I'm a happy human does not change the human part. You know, NTI doesn't say don't stop until you are a happy human. It says don't stop until you are the truth. Or it might say keep going until you are the truth. I'm not good at the quotes, but the idea is the same. Right? So compromise is settling for less. And I really think I see, I could be wrong about this, but I think I see people on the spiritual path compromising all the time. It's almost like they just decide one day, ah, you know what? I'm going to declare myself awake. I'm going to stop declaring myself not awake. You know, the seeker is going to end here. And you know what? They're just as human as I am. It's the compromise. It's the compromise, right? So the quote says, if your desire and confidence are strong, so we do need to work on the desire and the confidence, but if your desire and confidence are strong, they will operate and take you to your goal, for you will not cause delay by hesitation and compromise. So if I find myself hesitating, or if I find the temptation to compromise, you know what? I'm just going to declare myself awake. I'm just going to stop seeking. I know what awareness is. I'm aware all the time, right? When human awareness is not the same as infinite awareness. Human awareness is like a reflection of infinite awareness. Like moonlight is a reflection of the sun, right? It hits the moon and shines off again, right? But if you're at the level of moonlight, before you reach the sun, you kind of have some backward work to do. If you say moonlight, hey, I'm light, I'm happy. Well, great, you're light. It's your moonlight, your reflected light, but you still don't know what the sun is. You aren't back to the source. And it's going all the way into the sun. That's the true goal of this spiritual path. And, yeah, let's kick that Bubbles the Clown right out of the room. Oh, he already did. Good. Woohoo! Bye, Bubbles. He wanted to know if my breasts are large, and they're not, and I'm offended. Yeah. Okay. So why don't we go look at the journal? Oh, I forgot. Well, maybe my computer worked now. I forgot I had this on the phone. I'm trying to open up the internet again. I'm just going to close it down before it causes any problems. Quit Safari. Yeah, I'm going to go to my phone. All right. So, I'm a little slow. I'm not used to doing this on my phone. All right, this is number 807. This was my contemplation on October 23rd, 2015. The desire for awakening and trust in the universe live in me as whole. They are not partial or broken apart. They are whole. The mind is a tendency away from their wholeness, but the desire and trust themselves are not split or weak. They are full and complete. Therefore, all that is needed is consistent remembering. Remembering is directing attention now to the present wholeness that already exists. When attention is directed to the present wholeness that already exists, present knowingness that comes from wholeness is known. What is present knowingness that comes from wholeness? It is whatever needs to be known now. So, basically, what I see in this journal entry, I don't think this journal entry, I'll be honest with you, is something I would write today in contemplating the same quote. But again, that's why I always read the date to you, because it's important to know that that this is what I got when I contemplated this quote on October 23rd, 2015. What I got today when I contemplated the quote is what you just heard me say. So it's different. But what I see in this quote that maybe I still perceive as useful, I actually don't perceive most of it as useful anymore, and so I probably won't spend much time with it, or not the quote, the journal entry. What I see in the journal entry that I still perceive as useful now is the idea that I trust that desire and the universe are whole and can't be separated. This morning, in fact, when Gloria was teaching, she quoted, I believe it was Adyashanti, and the quote was something like life will unfold in the direction of your desire. Life will unfold in the direction of your desire. And I didn't take the mic during the weekly gathering itself, but I took the mic during the fellowship, and I said that that was a powerful, powerful statement. And that in NTI says that you're really always only desiring one of two things. You know, we think we desire many things. We think we can desire a car, a new house, a new partner, a better body, bigger boobs, right? We think we can desire all kinds of things. But in reality, you're either desiring truth or not truth. Those are the only two possibilities. Truth or not truth. And so again, whenever our mind is caught up with thinking about the world, we are literally desiring not truth. That's why our attention is going there. When our mind is in contemplation, meditation, or even, you know, when you're out in your daily life, but you're practicing self-inquiry or playing those awareness games or practicing the loving all method, then your mind is on truth and you're asking for truth. Oh, and in fact, I think the quote this morning said that your life will unfold in the direction of what you desire the most. I think the most was in there, which also means that if I spend 2 hours a day in contemplation and meditation, really desiring truth, but then I get up, I take a shower, and boop, I forget all about that, and I'm worried about the world and trying to control this and manipulate that and avoid this. You know, if we're talking about the most, if I spend 2 hours a day focused on truth, and then the remaining 14 hours a day that I'm awake focusing on the world, which one do I desire the most? You know, if it's a simple mathematical formula, obviously the 14 hours wins over the 2 hours. So the point is, the quote says, that the quote from Adyashanti said that your life will unfold in the direction of what you desire the most. And NTI says, you either desire the truth or not truth. The way Michael Langford would say it, I believe, is the continuation of the ego illusion. You either desire the final end of the ego, or you desire the continuation of the ego illusion. These are your choices. And of course, if you desire the continuation of the ego illusion, as Adyashanti said, then your life will unfold in that way, the continuation of the ego illusion. So what this quote is, or not the quote, the journal entry, what the journal entry is saying that I still have absolute faith in is that desire and your life, as Adyashanti put it, I called it the universe in this quote, they're whole, they're connected, they're not separate. I can't expect my life to unfold in a way that is different from my desire. Right? I can't expect that to happen. I can't be worried about the world all day, caught up in the world all day, and expect to be absorbed into infinite awareness. It needs to be aligned. There's another place in NTI where this is where it asks, is your, it's using the example of a building, you know, how a building has a foundation. It asks, is your foundation in one place and your building in another? Which isn't going to work very well. You need to bring your building and your foundation together. They need to be one, right? It's the leaky bucket again, Jay. Yes, the leaky bucket. Exactly. So what I hear about this journal entry that I think is still extremely useful to all of us is to realize this is just a fact. All right, this is just a fact that the desire and the unfolding of our life or the unfolding of the universe for us, or I don't know how you want to word that, but that they are linked, they are one, and they cannot be separated. So again, what that brings us back to is, what do I really desire? And am I just saying that, you know, my foundation's over here, but my building is over here, you know, that my 20-story building is someplace else because I spend the rest of the day focused on the world? Or am I ready to bring my building and my foundation together? Which really means that you need what I call in addition to your sitting practice, which to me, contemplation and meditation is a sitting practice, right? I sit down when I do those things. You need a walking practice, right? Whether you're practicing self-inquiry throughout the day, practicing awareness games, paying attention to awareness throughout the day, practicing the loving awe method, you need a walking practice as well. I think I've heard it say by Buddhists before, something like, you know, you can't get off the cushion and leave your meditation. So you have a way, you know, obviously you can't practice true, deep awareness, watching awareness while you're walking around, because there's no outward attention happening at all. You know, you walk into walls and stuff. I think Michael Langford says somewhere that you might put shaving cream on your toothbrush instead of toothpaste or something silly like that. You know, your attention needs to be out when you're walking about in the world. You can't be in that deep awareness, watching awareness meditation. That's a sitting down practice. But you need some type of meditation, some type of remaining focused on your purpose, regardless of what's happening, whether you're at work, whether you're with your family, you know, whatever is happening in your day. Because desire and the unfolding of the universe, or the unfolding of your life, the unfolding of your experience, are one. And they cannot be separated. So that's what I see is useful in this. Let me read this journal entry again and see if I find something else useful. The desire for awakening and trust in the universe live in me as whole. And what I mean by trusting the universe is trusting that the universe will follow my desire, right? I know that's true. So the desire for awakening and the trust in the universe live in me as whole. They are not partial or broken apart. They are whole. Or we could say they are one. The mind is a tendency away from their wholeness. But the desire and trust themselves are not split or weak. They are full and complete. Therefore, all that is needed is consistent remembering, right? Consistent remembering your purpose in one way or another. Remembering is directing attention now to the present wholeness that already exists. That means remembering is remembering now that my life is going to unfold in the way that I desire. What am I desiring now? You know, am I desiring now for this lady who's been talking nonstop for 20 minutes to shut up? Right? That's what we would call desiring, not truth. Am I desiring now for the politicians to make different decisions than they're making? Am I desiring now for my bank account to suddenly increase? Or even though all this is still happening in my day, and am I really desiring now truth by focusing on the loving all method, practicing self-inquiry, or playing awareness games? You know, where am I? What am I desiring now? And I need to keep remembering that how I desire now is how my life is going to unfold. And so keep redirecting my attention to what am I desiring now. And this is something that happens every moment of the waking day, not just during the sitting practice. So when it says all that is needed is consistent remembering, it means that what we really have to transcend is consistent forgetting. And for me, that's one reason, not the only reason, but that's one reason why the morning practice is so important. Because the day also seems to follow, you know, after a certain point of strengthening the mind. In the beginning, when the mind is not strong, it seems like even if you do practice in the morning, as soon as you get off the cushion, as they say, your mind goes back to the world. That does happen in the beginning. But you keep trying. Every time you notice that your mind has wandered, you bring it back to whatever your walking practice is, right? And eventually the mind becomes strong in that it doesn't forget easily. It does stay in purpose no matter what the body is doing. But what I also find is, if you begin to skip that morning practice after a few days, the mind will start to grow weak and distracted again. So even after the mind is strong, at least in my experience, it's still important to take that time in the morning for contemplation and meditation, because that helps maintain that strength. It's probably like, if we were working out with weights. You know, if we don't work out with weights and we work out with weights together for, 20 weeks, we're all going to start noticing little muscles on our bodies, right? Ooh, that's cool. But then if we quit working out with the weights, are the muscles going to stay? Right? So we need to keep exercising with that morning practice time, even after the mind becomes strong. So therefore, all that is needed is consistent remembering. Remembering is directing attention now to the present wholeness that already exists. Remembering that the world is going to unfold according to my desire. What am I desiring now? When attention is directed to the present wholeness that already exists, present knowingness that comes from wholeness is known. What is a present knowingness that comes from wholeness? It is whatever needs to be known now. In other words, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say in that conversation with Stephanie later in the day. You know, if I just stay with purpose, keep my attention with purpose when I'm sitting in front of Stephanie, then I'll know what to say, right? And I will be guided intuitively, spontaneously. And because I'm always going to be guided intuitively, spontaneously in the moment, I don't need to be thinking about stuff and worrying about stuff and rehearsing my conversations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can be focused on my purpose. I'm completely free to keep my attention here now with my purpose. And when I do that, anything I need to know throughout the day will arise when I need to know it. Therefore, I'm safe, right? I'm really safe, because the mind will try and tell you you're not safe. If you focus on your purpose, then you're going to show up with your meeting for Stephanie and not have a clue what to say, right? Whoever Stephanie is, I just made that name up, right? So if I stay with my purpose, then intuitive guidance will always guide me in the moment. I don't need to be rehearsing and figuring things out and worrying and counting my chickens before they hatch. So that's quote 807, and I want to thank you all very much for bearing with me during my computer problems. Now, I have a meeting in just a few moments, a member meeting, but Ken, I need to save my audio, my Seven Steps audio. So if you could play a song for me, I will put my hand up when I'm ready, but feel free to finish the song. You don't have to cut it in the middle. But when my audio has been saved, I'll join the queue, okay? So for now, I'm releasing the mic.